DW.
This week, a report released by a panel of international experts from across several continents showed that over $2.3 billion was poured into farming research in sub-Saharan Africa in 2018. But, as they noted, private donors like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation were devoting less than 3% to sustainable agriculture. Solving hunger is a particularly urgent issue in Africa. Not only is its population expected to double within the next 30 years, it's also expected to be one of the hardest hit regions by climate change. I spoke with Olivier de Schutter, who co-chairs the International Panel on Sustainable Food Systems, which released the report. De Schutter also served as the UN Special Rapporteur on the Right to Food. I started by asking him why it's such a big deal that sustainable agriculture is being overlooked.
Well, increasingly, the international community has acknowledged the benefits of agroecology as a way to pursue agricultural development that can contribute environmental benefits, health benefits, and benefits to the small-scale farmers in particular who practice those methods. That is a very knowledge-intensive way of developing agriculture and of producing food, but it is underexplored, and it's underexplored because most donors and development agencies have focused on green revolution-like approaches that are based on the use of irrigation, the spread of mechanization, the intensive use of external inputs, pesticides, chemical fertilizers, and the use of high-yielding seeds. And these are classic green revolution technologies that have developed in the 60s and 70s, but are simply not suited to the challenges that we are facing today.
One of the donors that played a big role in this particular report was Bill Gates, more specifically his foundation with his wife, so the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Could you tell us why they were such a focus? I mean, there was one chapter devoted to them in this report.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has a very important influence, particularly in the development of the green revolution on the African continent, in sub-Saharan Africa. And the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has a huge influence, not simply because of the money it can mobilize, which is significantly more important than what national governments themselves can invest, but also because it has been shaping the discourse around agricultural development very much based on the belief that high-quality seeds can make the difference and that technologies can ensure food security. And this is probably the result of the fact that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has been extremely effective in the health sector to promote vaccination and to promote healthcare in order to reduce diseases. But the problem is that agriculture can only be developed if you take into account the views of the beneficiaries and if you accept that each context in which agricultural development operates is different from any other.
Well, let's take an example of the vegetable cassava, which is a root vegetable, and for people who aren't familiar with it, is like a yam. And it's widespread across sub-Saharan Africa. It's resistant to heat and drought, but there is an issue of a virus that's been killing it. When you think of a staple crop like that, where maybe private donor and private investment might be the best solution, do you still see it as the better solution for that region, or is it better to go with sustainable agriculture in that case where everybody can kind of, every community can take care of itself?
It's important to realize that technologies, of course, can help, and many technological innovations deserve to be supported, and they can indeed contribute significant progress. But there are two conditions for this. One is that those technologies be developed with the participation of the farmers so that it suits their needs and takes into account their particular constraints, including the risk of developing a dependency on the technology owners, on the firms that own the technology, and that might impose very high royalties, for example, making farming unaffordable for small-scale farmers who cannot easily have access to credit at fair conditions. And secondly, those technologies may work well in certain areas for certain categories of farmers, but be much less suitable for other farmers working in different environments. And for example, in a country such as Mexico, where there are many varieties of maize cultivated, each of which correspond to different agroecological systems, it would be foolish to impose one single variety of maize for cultivation across the country because there is a huge genetic diversity that deserves and should be encouraged, given that it's a portfolio of solutions for future risks.
So is this report calling for a complete shift to sustainable agriculture? Or is there room for industrial agriculture in there?
It's important to realize that those two types of agriculture do compete for land, they compete for water, they compete for investment, they compete for political attention and political support. And so it is not always easy to manage this coexistence between these different types of agriculture. And the big difference between the two is that the first industrial type of agriculture is much more capable of attracting private investment. Because, of course, big transnational firms are interested in providing the inputs, providing the seeds, but also buying the raw materials that are produced in large volumes over large surfaces of land. Whereas small farmers working in difficult environments, working far away from ports and cities, may not find it easy to attract private investment at all. And so they deserve much more support, because otherwise they will simply disappear and the migration from the rural areas to the cities will be accelerated as a result. DW.